I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Rick Kamla's our boy at NBA TV and NBA Radio on satellite. Everybody loves NBA TV Rick on Twitter. He's back on the bench in the biggest way possible. What do you think of this ass-beating tonight in Milwaukee that the Bucks are putting on the Celtics? The series will be ones going to Boston.
My man, great to be back out with you. Ass beating. That's how we're starting the show.
Yes.
All right, or this segment. Look, it is. In the first half was tight. You know, you had many of the Celtics stepping up outside of Kyrie Irving, who just was absolutely terrible tonight. I didn't like his body language. I didn't like anything about his game tonight. But Boston, with, you know, Tatum and several others, made it like a legitimate first half. And the third quarter was all Milwaukee, Scotty. It was like, the Bucks at halftime were like, yo, we need to come out here and punch these dudes in the face. And what I'm seeing with how Boston is defending Giannis, you had in game one and in the first quarter of this game, they're building a wall on him, right? We've seen this happen in many playoff series in the past. It's a super effective defense against a team that has like one superstar and then many other good players. But what, and it's basically for people listening, Scotty, and I'm sure you can explain this as well, it's essentially three dudes, foul line extended, kind of connected, and building a wall so he can't drive on them. But you know what Giannis did in quarters two, three, and, well, not four, but two and three? He just said, I'm going through the wall, and just put his head down, kept the dribble low, and just went through the arms and got below the free throw line and started making plays. So it was a really cool adjustment to see from Giannis Antetokounmpo tonight.
I thought Middleton was filling it up with the seven daggers from downtown, and I would agree with you on Kyrie. His numbers were terrible tonight, 4 of 18 from the floor, 1 of 5 from downtown. They looked a lot different, but I would agree with you about that defense. I think their defense on him was spectacular until the third quarter tonight.
It really was. And you know, game one, look, I think the Bucks might have been a little bit, you know, pardon the phrase, you know, because it's fear the deer, a little deer in headlights. You know, here you go, you know, center stage, man. You swept, Boston swept, round two. You're the best team in the East. You have the best record in the NBA. You got game one in your crib. And they came out flat, and they came out unaggressive, and they got their butts kicked, like you said. And tonight was an ass-kicking in return. And now Milwaukee is in this series, Scotty. And we're going to see this thing probably go at least six, maybe seven. I am predicting Boston in six games in this one. I just think that overall, like when this thing goes back to Boston, that defensive wall that they're going to try to build on Giannis, I think is going to be more effective because the guys building that wall are going to have more juice. Look, Boston won game one, Scotty. I think in general, they let their guard down tonight. In that second half, they're like, yo, it's getting tough. We're down 11. We're down 12. We're down 17. All right, cool. We got the first one. Let's just go ahead and save up energy and go to game three. I think that's what we saw tonight.
Yeah, Rick Kamla with us. I think now I want to shift to this Foster story before this game tips off. What did you think today when you saw that they put Foster on the game? And what's your opinion of the, you know, international incident that it's become, these, you know, Sunday until tonight? I've never seen anyone, frankly, cry so much about refs. I think that I thought they did an atrocious job in game one. Fair enough. But talking about it for 3 days is nauseating.
Oh, it certainly is. And the NBA doesn't like it. NBA fans don't want it. I mean, let's talk basketball. Scotty, to me, this is the NBA Finals. I think whoever wins this series is going to win the chip this year. You know, with an asterisk on injury, if somebody gets hurt, then all bets are off. But, you know, in terms of, you know, Klay Thompson not giving James Harden landing room at the end of game one, I think that's BS. I did not think that was a foul. And now you've got this whole thing. I think James Harden, Scotty, I think the stat is in the last 3 or 4 years, James Harden has fouled out 4 times. Three of them have been in a Scott Foster game. I'm not listening to any of that crap. Play effective basketball, right? Don't be out of control on the offensive end and plow guys over and get an offensive foul. When you're on defense, don't play defense with your hands. Play defense with your feet. That's what you do when you're playing pickup. I know that, Scotty. That's what I learned coming up. And so be more vigilant. Be more responsible. Don't give away stupid fouls in the first half that are going to accumulate and make it a buzzkill for you in the fourth quarter. I think it's on James Harden to play better basketball, Scotty. I don't think this is on Scott Foster or any official on planet Earth. I think this is about James Harden saying, I don't have the Romo gene. But, Scotty, he does have the Romo gene.
I actually, you know, I always say to Mafia, he'll back me up on this, like, we play a ton, and I'm in these huge games all the time, and the refs are just terrible, and it's just it's just one after the next. The calls, what happens is they're so bad, but both ways, that everyone just, all they ever do is complain about the refs. And what I've always said to Mafia is, and I believe this is applicable in the NBA as well, you have to win the game in spite of the refs. You have to play ball. You have to finish. You have to score. You have to win the game no matter what they do to you, how many calls, how many texts, how many bad ones. All I know, arguing with them, they never change calls. You have to win in spite of them.
And, Scotty, this is what we love about RAC, as you call it. This is what we love about the orange ball. It doesn't matter if you're with seven-year-olds in a church league, there's going to be terrible calls on both sides, all the way up to, you know, Warriors and Cavaliers, you know, Steph and LeBron, all the way up to that level, all the way down to a church league. It's the same thing. People complaining about the refs, the mentally strong teams that can play through the whistle and beyond the whistle win. And so the Warriors are, you know, they used to be very good at it, Scotty. I just had to stop myself because of all the texts that Kevin Durant gets,
right,
and all the texts that Draymond Green gets. But, I mean, they're just a kick-ass team. What can we say? They're a dynasty. But, that mental toughness of being able to play through a whistle that's not going your way that night, that's basketball.
I actually think, and I'm going to just say this quickly, I think the Warriors, we all know how fantastic they are. There's no denying it. But they cry as much as anyone in the league of every single whistle. I mean, Draymond Green, he's an absolute menace to referees on the bench or on the floor. He cries about every call. The Kerr does, Thompson does, Curry does. They never stop crying. But the difference is, in the end, in the last 5 minutes, while everyone's still crying, they're sticking a knife in your throat and beating you and winning in spite of the refs. Let me ask you, what does Dame and McCollum have to do tomorrow night to win that game in Denver?
Well, just play great. I mean, because you're in an incredibly tough environment. I think Denver had the best home record in the NBA during the regular season. You're at a mile high, so the oxygen and just the body chemistry thing is different. But look, I think Denver's winning this series. Scotty, they were taught so many lessons by the Spurs in round one, right? You come out flat in game one at home, you rally in game two. Then you go game three at San Antonio and you take an L. All right, we just lost a road game. You come back and you win game four. You got over that hurdle. You have a game seven hurdle against a slew of players with a bunch more playoff experience than you. You take care of business there. You take care of business in game one. I'm seeing a young, talented, fertile team grow and germinate before our eyes right now. It's really fun to watch, man. I mean, I think Denver's going to win game two. I think they're going to win this series in five.
Slow down, son. Let's get to Embiid. I think he's such an absolute force of nature in the middle. I don't actually believe, and I don't want anyone in Toronto to jump off a building or anything. I don't think they have, like, Siakam to me looks like amateur hour against these guys. Like, Embiid was playing with, like, Rhea, and the guy was sick, but he was still immovable. And if he didn't have Rhea, he would have had, I think, 25 in that game. And I think he's so clutch in the paint and at the line. He gets to the line so much. I'm not sure I believe I love Kawhi. I'm not sure he can do it literally by himself. I don't think they can actually beat that team.
Well, hold on. You're telling me that you don't think the Raptors can beat the Sixers?
No.
Okay. I've got the Raptors winning this series. I've got the Raptors beating Boston in the East Finals. And it's Scotty, it's not like I'm a huge Raptors fan, or it's not like I have any tie to the team at all. I like what they got going on this year. There's a different edge. There's like a different clutch to this team. They've got more options, man. You've got Ibaka, you've got Gasol, you've got Siakam, you've got Leonard. Oh yeah, you've got an all-star point guard in Lowry, who, Scotty, when it was him and DeRozan, and basically you had half of the weight of the organization on Kyle Lowry. I mean, the building sank on him, and he wasn't able to get it done. But now that he can be just a bulldog and a blending guy and a big shot maker and remember the play at the end of the Orlando game? He gets the loose ball rebound and then passes it out. They get fouled and they win the basketball game. Like, he's that hustle play guy, and he doesn't have to score 20 a night on this team. So I think Toronto's got it figured out. I think they're going to beat Philly. And Scotty, everything you said about Joel Embiid is correct. But let's talk about Ben Simmons for a second. Let's dissect his game. How many tiny playoff games has he had so far in 2019? It's been several. And it's because the guy is half a man offensively. Great setup man, unbelievable vision, great handle, can run up and down the court. But can you make a shot? Can you make a free throw, right? And that's a huge problem for him. It's a huge problem for the Sixers. And I think that ultimately is going to be why they don't win this series.
Yeah, I actually, when I saw, and I don't disagree with any of that, I actually think, like, I was watching Siakam. I go back to him again. Whenever I saw him, like, looking with the rock to, like, you know, drop step or go, and try to, he was like, he had big visions of grandeur. Like, he was going to go into the trees, into Embiid County, and you know, lay down the law. And he was like, you know, walking stick. Your boy, you know, what was the guy's name in Alabama? The guy with the bat? Remember, what was the cop's name? Remember in the movies with the guy with the bat? He went around bashing everybody's car. Do you know who I'm talking about? None of you people know? Who is the guy? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Can talk about Nick Saban and Mark Ingram. And
Walking Tall. Don't you remember the movie Walking Tall?
I don't. I really don't.
Yeah, they remade it with The Rock, and he went around with a nightstick smacking people. Listen, Siakam is afraid. He's going to cable in his pants when he goes into Embiid County. Trust me. He's scared to death. I can see it in his eyes. You have no idea what you're talking about. I love you. I'll see you soon. I always love getting Camel on the bench. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
Scotty, you know that. Peace. Enjoy the hoops.
All right, Rick Kamla of NBA TV and NBA Radio.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.